Utangle nodded. "It was no illusion," he said. "Yet he didn't use his hands. What was he saying to himself, do you know?"
"He says it's just words to make his mind work properly," said Treacle, and shrugged. "I can't understand half of what he says, and that's a fact. He says he's having to invent words because there aren't any for the things he's doing." Cutangle glanced sideways at his fellow mages. They nodded.
"It will be an honour to admit him to the university," he said. "Perhaps you would tell him so when he wakes up."
He felt a tugging at his robe and looked down. "Excuse me," said Esk.
"Hello, young lady," said Cutangle in a sugar mouse voice. "Have you come to see your brother enter the university?"
"He's not my brother," said Esk. There were times when the world had seemed to be full of brothers, but this wasn't one of them. "Are you important?" she said. Cutangle looked at his colleagues and beamed. There were fashions in wizardry, just like anything else. Sometimes wizards were thin and gaunt and talked to animals. The animals didn't listen, but it's the thought that counts. While at other times they tended towards the dark or saturnine, with little black pointed beards. Currently, Alder Manick was in. Cutangle swelled with modesty.
"Quite important," he said. "One does one's best in the service of one's fellow man. Yes, quite important, I would say."
"I want to be a wizard," said Esk. The lesser wizards behind Cutangle stared at her as if she was a new and interesting kind of beetle. Cutangle's face went red and his eyes bulged. He looked down at Esk and seemed to be holding his breath. Then he started to laugh. It started somewhere down in his extensive stomach regions and worked its way up, echoing from rib to rib and causing minor wizard quakes across his chest until it burst forth in a series of strangled snorts. It was quite fascinating to watch, that laugh. It had a personality all of its own. But he stopped when he saw Esk's stare. If the laugh was a music hall clown, then Esk's determined squint was a whitewash bucket on a fast trajectory.
"A wizard?" he said. "You want to be a wizard?"
"Yes," said Esk, pushing the dazed Simon into Treacle's reluctant arms. "I'm the eighth son of an eighth son. I mean, daughter." The wizards around her were looking at one another and whispering. Esk tried to ignore them. "What did she say?"
"Is she serious?" "I always think children are so delightful at that age, don't you?" "You're the eighth son of an eighth daughter," said Cutangle. "Really?"
"The other way around, only not exactly," said Esk defiantly. Cutangle dabbed his eyes with a handkerchief.
"This is quite fascinating," he said. "I don't think I've ever heard of something quite like this before, eh?"
He looked around at his growing audience. The people at the back couldn't see Esk and were craning to check if some interesting magic was going on. Cutangle was at a loss.
"Well, now," he said, "you want to be a wizard."
"I keep telling everyone, but no one seems to listen," said Esk.
"How old are you, little girl?"
"Nearly 9."
"And you want to be a wizard when you grow up?"
"I want to be a wizard now," said Esk firmly. "This is the right place, isn't it?" Cutangle looked at Treacle and winked. "I saw that," said Esk.
"I don't think there's ever been a lady wizard before," said Cutangle. "I rather think it might be against the law. Wouldn't you rather be a witch? I understand it's a fine career for girls."
A minor wizard behind him started to laugh. Esk gave him a look. "Being a witch is quite good," she conceded. "But I think wizards have more fun. What do you think?"
"I think you're a very singular little girl," said Cutangle.
"What does that mean?"
"It means there's only one of you," said Treacle.
"That's right," said Esk. "And I still want to be a wizard?"